This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good afternoon. Today our conversation will focus on markets as we hear from Arlen Suderman. Arlen is a chief commodities economist for INTL FC Stone, and I asked him to give us an overview and a recap of how things are going as we wrap up the first trading week of 2017.
Week's trading, a lot of movement in the prices, not necessarily all of it about supply and demand. First of all, next week is index fund portfolio rebalancing, and what that basically means is these index funds made up of 17 to 25 different commodities, all of them have a desired weighting of what percent that commodity should be of the total basket or the total mix. Over the past year, some commodities like soybeans have rallied significantly and are now overweighted, need to be sold to get back to their desired level. Other commodities like wheat have lost a lot of ground, need to be bought to be brought back up, and corn's in that same category. So traders are positioning for that, kind of buying some corn and some wheat and selling soybeans. We're generally seeing weather become a bigger picture, a bigger factor in South America as well. Pretty good conditions in Brazil, getting dry in the northern half of the belt, particularly as we get in the late last half of January. The crop, though, is maturing, so the impact on yields is not as significant as what it would have been maybe a few weeks earlier. Argentina had been dry. Now it's excessively wet, so rain makes grain, but in some cases it's excessive. Overall, I think we're probably looking at some net losses in corn and soybeans, modestly so. But traders trying to put all that together and try to position themselves with USDA crop report next week as well.
You know, yesterday, or it would have been Wednesday, we saw a really big increase in the soybeans. And I know you just mentioned it's not all about supply and demand. There are a lot of factors. But as for Wednesday's numbers, what was the cause of that, if you have any idea of what that was?
Well, when we get in these kind of conditions, a lot of times traders, and particularly the fund managers, will just depend on chart signals. And as we look at that March soybean contract, which is now the lead active contract, it had tracked down to the bottom of a channel that's held this market largely for much of 2016, now going into 2017, and especially through the summer months, summer and fall months. So it bounced off of that level of support. When that support held, we saw a lot of speculative money coming back into the market, pulling back a little bit today, though, as they realize maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves.
As we are moving forward in the new year, farmers are selling some of their grain that they had in the bins. Are the rallies going to continue? Is it hard to say what the trends are going to be? Or any advice for farmers as we start this new marketing year?
We'll probably settle into a little bit more of a pattern once we get past next week's USDA crop report, readjusting the fundamentals, giving us a better picture of South America, and we'll be getting deep enough into the month of January that we start to have a little better feel for the weather patterns there and how they're going to impact production. Weather in South America, I think, is going to be critical. Demand for soybeans remains robust. So far, the supply with the big record U.S. crop and now looking like a decent South American crop, although it's a little bit early yet, has still been sufficient to meet that demand. But if we see any hiccups in the weather of significance, that could create a lot of excitement in the soybean market. Otherwise, we continue to track along and kind of in this price range. On the corn side, we've got abundant supplies of corn in China and the United States. The rest of the world, maybe not so much, adequate to get us by. So what happens in Southern Hemisphere? Most major producers of the Southern Hemisphere have significant increases in acreage this year. So if the weather continues to be favorable, they increase their supply and increase our competition on the export market, and that's going to pressure prices. On the other hand, if we see a major weather problem develop, as some forecast models suggest in Brazil in particular, then we could see things tighten up once again, more export business coming our way, and start to draw down the surplus supplies that we have. Over on the wheat side, we've just got too much of it. More of it needs to get in the feed bunk, not just domestically, but globally. That's going to be a problem. I think for the near term, we're probably well supported. Longer term, though, without any major weather problems, I think wheat could actually make some new lows.
Kind of switching the conversation now from the grain side to livestock, we have seen a little bit of ups and downs with those prices as well. Maybe not as big as what we've been seeing this week with the grain. Is there anything that could trigger those prices to move drastically, or thoughts there?
Well, I think there's a couple significant developments. First of all, we went through the time period, November, December, record pork slaughter, record hog slaughter, over 2.5 million per week for a number of weeks. We had never done that before. So we were throwing a lot of meat at the wholesale level into the retail level. We finally started to see beef prices at the same time go down to reflect what the producer had been receiving. That combined with dramatically improved consumer sentiment over November and December appears to have strengthened the demand for meat at the showcase. And as a result, at a time with all this meat being dumped on the market, as we look at the cold storage report, beef supplies dropped just a little bit in December. Pork supplies dropped dramatically, even with this big supply. So while we're producing a lot of meat right now, the encouraging thing is that we're also consuming it. The strong dollar has made exports difficult, but the domestic consumer has been picking up the game and starting to consume more. We're still in danger of overexpanding on the hog side, but overall we have stabilized prices with that strengthening demand.
Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist for INTL FC Stone, and we'll have more ag news after these messages. Growth Energy says U.S. drivers have reached 500 million miles on E15 fuels. In a statement this week, Growth Energy said the figure was based on sales and consumption data reported over the past 12 months by gasoline retailers. The organization says the milestone highlights the fuel's performance, safety, and value for American consumers. Growth Energy CEO Emily Score says drivers are finding out that E15, which contains 15% ethanol, is an even better choice for their wallets, their engines, and the environment. E15 works for any vehicle 2001 and newer and is the most tested fuel to date, according to Growth Energy. Additionally, automakers approve E15 for use in nearly 3/4 of new cars, and the EPA approves its use in 9 out of 10 cars on the road today. Well, we've got more news about the EPA. The Environmental Protection Agency is handing out more than $7.7 million to replace or retrofit older diesel school buses in rural communities across the country. The funds are going to 88 school bus fleets in 27 states, each of which will receive rebates through EPA's Diesel Emissions Reduction Act, and 3 of those fleets are in Illinois. The EPA says the new and retrofitted buses will reduce pollutants that are linked to health problems. Since 2008, the program has funded more than 700 clean diesel projects across the country, reducing emissions in more than 70,000 engines. And before we wrap up the work week, don't forget that the Carlinville FFA alumni is hosting a dinner auction on January 21st at the Carlinville Elks Lodge. Tickets are available at CNB Bank in Carlinville or by calling Molly Rosentrader at 217-204-5600. And the Montgomery County Soil and Water Conservation District's annual meeting is scheduled for January 19th at the U of I Extension Office in Hillsboro. And you can RSVP to that meeting by calling the Soil and Water Office at 217-532-3361, extension 3. And that's all we have today for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.